listening to the My Hair Ain't Nappy podcast, where I'll be giving valuable insight and thought-provoking perspectives about the connections between our hair and how we live our daily lives. I know that many of you have heard people talking about Jerry curls, pressing curls, high top fades and sporting waves, the best products for your hair and so much more. But what you haven't heard is how our hair can be a full reflection of what's going on in our hearts, what's going on in our minds, what's going on in our bodies, and what's going on in our souls. I'm your host, Darius Peace, and I'm excited to be your weekly guide on the journey to having better hair and a better life. Boys don't do hair. That's a phrase that rang in my head from the time I was 8 years old and till I reached about my mid-20s. I remember right after my mama and my daddy split up, we were at one of my aunt's house, and my aunt had her hair just standing all over her head. It looked so crazy. And I started playing in her hair. I was so fascinated with it. And while I was playing with it, I started plaiting her hair. And I don't know how I knew how to plait. Nobody ever taught me how to plait or showed me how to plait. I just started plaiting her hair. It came so effortlessly to me. And so I plaited her full head, and I was so proud of the outcome. And I was celebrating it, and I was like, wow, I can't believe I did that. And in hindsight, I can look back and see it looked crazy. But in my 8-year-old mind, I thought that it was a masterpiece. So we got home later on that evening, and my mama was so mad. She scolded me, and she let me know right then, boys don't do hair. I better not ever see your hand in a woman's head again playing, because boys don't do hair. And I felt like shit. I felt so deflated. I felt so emasculated. I felt like, damn, like what? Wow. Okay. But in that moment, I did learn that that's not what I'm supposed to do as a boy, because boys don't do hair. Now, let me add this in. My mama is a good mama. And, you know, as a parent myself, I know that none of us are really given a handbook or a playbook on how to parent our children. We just do the best we can with the capacity that we have. So that's not me making any excuses for anything. That's just me having, understanding and compassion for my parents and their parenting, because they did what they knew to do. And even as a parent today, I'm doing what I know to do. So I'm grateful for my mama, but that right there did ring in my head, and it did create a haunting for me, and it did have its effects on me. So I just needed to add that in, because I did not want this to seem like I'm over here about to bash my mama for parenting, because that's what she was doing. And, you know, I already had the shame of having nappy hair, because that was another thing that, you know, was a learned behavior from my family, telling me that my hair was nappy and I couldn't grow it out, and me feeling ugly, or having thoughts about being ugly and feeling unsafe. I felt unsafe as a little boy. I didn't feel protected. My daddy was a very abusive man to my mama, and my stepdaddy was a very abusive man to my mama. So being around these men and feeling the need to always step up and protect, I didn't feel protected. So that all added a layer of shame to my life, because it was embarrassing, the behind the curtains, you know, what was really going on at home. And then to add another layer of shame about what I naturally like to do, or what naturally fascinated me, proved me not being male enough or not boy enough or not tough enough. That was a lot for anybody, but definitely a little boy to have to carry in his mind and go to school and be expected to make good grades and do all those things, which I did. But let's talk about it.
Hi, I'm Danielle Hines, the owner and founder of Creed 63. Creed 63 is located in the Arthur Shores Law Center in the Birmingham Civil Rights District. Creed 63 does four things for small businesses and entrepreneurs. We have a podcast studio, co-working space, virtual offices, and private offices. Stop by anytime you are in the Civil Rights District to see how Creed 63 can help you grow and expand your small business. You can find us at creed63.com.
I've always been deeply fascinated by and drawn to hair. And I ain't talking about just one type of hair. I'm not talking about what people recognized or stated as good hair or bad hair. I'm talking about any and all fabrics of hair have always piqued my interest and curiosity. Long, short, curly, wavy, coily, even animal hair and fur has always been just the fabric of hair has always fascinated me and all the different things that could be done to alter and switch hair, change it up. It's so chameleonic. And I love that about hair, even being a hairstylist to this day. That's one of the things that is so fascinating and extraordinary about hair, just how chameleonic in nature it is. And if the word chameleonic is going over some of y'all's heads, that means its ability to be able to change. So I like words, and so I'm going to use big words. And so if the words that I may speak go over your head, then that should inspire you to go and get a dictionary and learn a new word so that you can use it too. I remember collecting treasure troll dolls when I was a little boy. I loved treasure trolls. I thought that they were so cute. And that was one of the trending toys of the 80s. So the treasure troll dolls were these trolls. They were brown, like deep, deep paper bag brown. And they had this really high standing, ascending hair. And they had these jewels in the tummy. And I thought it was just a really cool toy to have. But I collected them, and my grandmama would, whenever she would go anywhere, she would always come back with a surprise of a new treasure troll doll with me. She would go to estate sales and yard sales and thrift stores and just find me all these vintage treasure trolls. And I have no idea to this day what ever happened to my treasure troll collection, but it was the hair of the trolls that was most fascinating to me. Like just this standing hair that really mimicked Afro textured hair. And I would, my mama had a Jerry curl when I was little, and so there would always be these tiny perm rods just all over the house in random places. And so I remember one day finding a perm rod on the floor in the bathroom and taking it and rolling one of my treasure trolls' hair with it. So I let it sit there for days because I really forgot about it. And then when I got back to it and took it out and just kind of pulled through it, my treasure troll had an afro for real. It wasn't just this straight standing up afro, but it was a real fro. And again, that was like, wow. So when I recognized that, I got the roller and started doing it to all of the treasure trolls that I had. But one thing that rang in my head was that boys don't do hair. So once that was done and I achieved the afro look on all of them, I hid them. I put them back in the box that I had them in, put it deep under my bed, and acted like nothing ever happened. And that's one of those things that I rarely talk about when I'm talking about my history of doing hair. When I got to college, I came to college with my high school sweetheart. And she was actually the very first head that I had experience with styling hair. She had beautiful hair. She still to this day has gorgeous hair. And I was playing in her head one day and I rodded her head. I had experience with rods, with the perm rods from my treasure troll. So she needed her hair done and she asked if I would rod her hair. And I was like, yeah, Not that I had any, to her knowledge, experience with riding hair, but she trusted me with it. And she asked me if I would help her out with her hair. So I did it. And I did not know that when I did it, it was going to come out as beautifully done and sculpted and precise as it was. I was like, my goodness. And she loved it too. But one thing I remember telling her was, please don't tell anybody that I did your hair. And the reason I did that was because of the shame that I had already carried for so long about boys don't do hair. So I couldn't have anybody else learning or finding out that I did her hair. But after doing that, maybe a year later is when I decided that I wanted to grow my hair out. And because I couldn't find anybody to do my hair, I had to take matters into my own hands and do my own hair. And so for a while, I wouldn't tell anybody that I was doing my own hair. And then I just got over it one day and was like, man, fuck it. I did it. I did my own hair. And I began to develop some confidence around having done my own hair because it was celebrated around me. People would always tell me how good my hair looked and how good I looked and how fly I was with this new showcase of hair. And so it, you know, that helped me to develop some courage and to really dismiss a lot of the shame that I carried around about my fascination with doing hair and really getting rid of the whole boys don't do hair thing as much as it could at that time anyway. I've always been organically and extraordinarily eccentric and eclectic, you know, in my malehood and my masculinity. I believe that's what draws people to me and that's what draws me to people. I really think that that's what's always drawn me to people and drawn people to me. I think that that's what's led me to experience success in my career and really what's led me to be able to speak on this podcast, on the My Hair Ain't Nappy podcast with you. I've always seen myself as strong and tough, but sensitive at the same time. And for a while, I thought that that was a bad thing, the sensitive side, because, you know, boys are taught by society to be tough and to be strong and to perpetuate a lot of stereotypes, especially if you're a black male or black boy. But I've always felt strong and tough, but that sensitive side is what, you know, created a different sense of shame. So it's something that I always thought that I needed to hide. I've always been fearless in standing up to fight. I remember whenever my mama would get into altercations with either my daddy or my stepdaddy, and we were so young, me and my brothers, this was before my sister came into the picture. We were so young and seeing your mama getting her ass whooped by somebody just naturally for me, you know, made me want to fight because you can't hit my mama and I'm here and it be okay. And I'm talking about being 3, 4, 5 years old, you know, at the start of all this, you know, feeling the need to stand up and fight for my mama and always be on guard, thinking that I had to protect. That was something that was always in me. So as far as the strength and the me being tough and me being ready to fight and me being willing and wanting to stand up for my mama, even to prove all of that, has been there for a long time. My mama wasn't no wimp, but I gotta add, this is so funny how I feel like I gotta come in and just clear some things up too. Like my mama wasn't no wimp, like just sitting and letting nobody whoop up on her. But again, she's still having to protect herself and defend herself from the strength of a man. And so, you know, there was still some defeat and trauma that I know that she experienced and probably, you know, even to this day carries as a result of that. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And I have a very sensitive spot when it comes to women experiencing any form of domestic abuse, because that's a part of my story, a part of the fabric of my quilt. And I don't like that, but it just is what it is. That's the hand that I was dealt. And that's, you know, one of the things that I carry that really contributes to why I am the way I am in so many ways. I don't walk like a pimp. I actually got a lot of pep in my step. I don't and never have been one to sag my pants or do anything like that. I don't try to change my voice when I'm around other guys. I don't change the conversation that I have with other guys so that I can seem more masculine. I don't get into the hyper-masculinity dialogue about contact sports or sports that I don't like or how much pussy I've gotten or have not gotten. It just don't work for me, and it never did. It never has, and perhaps never will. I remember when, and I know this seems like I'm going down memory lane, but the thing that I'm enjoying about recording the My Hair Ain't Nappy podcast is that it allows me to be and speak my truth and talk about what has led me to being Darius Peace, your natural hair expert, and what's led me to My Hair Ain't Nappy. Just giving some backstory, just so you know who you're dealing with. I feel like, or I think I'm talking with friends here, and so it just gives us a better connection and allows us to have a better listening relationship with one another. So that's where this is coming from. I remember when my wife and I were expecting our first child, and I told one of my friends my good news, and he responded to me saying that he hoped that I wasn't having a boy because he couldn't see me having a boy, being a father to a boy, because boys need to learn football and basketball and do a lot of the boy things that I just didn't seem to find interesting, like those type things. Like I don't naturally like football. I don't get into football conversation with people. Now, I love live anything. So will I go to a live football game? Hell yeah, I love live things, but I'm not about to watch football on TV because that just doesn't naturally interest me. And I don't think that makes me less masculine. I know that now. You know, for a long time, I did not know that. But it broke my heart to hear my friend, and I still call this person my friend because I don't think that him saying that was to break me down. That was just his truth about what he thought of me. It wasn't good, but he was still a good friend, and I could still call on him to this day if there's something that I need. But that did let me know where I wanted to position him in my life as a friend. The irony of him saying that, though to me was he was somebody's, he was a boy dad, and he was never around his son. I don't think to this day I've ever met his son. His son was not in his life. He was not in his son's life. He wasn't a part of his daughter's lives. He just was not a present father. So him saying that, you know, when me expressing my defense to it, because I was like, what you mean? I'm like, dude, you're not even around your kids. Like, that I've never even seen your son. So to say that you don't think that I would be a good father to a boy just seems kind of crazy to me, because you're not even in your son's life. So does that mean that you're a good father just because or you're a good boy dad just because you are into sports, you play football, you talk about pussy all the time and how much you getting, all of that? Like, that it just didn't do it for me. But you know, we didn't talk for about 2 weeks after that, but, you know, we got back on track. But that did something to me regarding fathering my children, and especially once I started having boys. My first two children are girls. My wife and I have five children. We've got two girls and three boys. And I wasn't, even though that did affect me, I wasn't insecure about fathering my children, especially when my daughters came around. I didn't feel any insecurity, and mainly because, you know, the source that it was coming from was not a good showcase of fatherhood or really manhood for that matter to me. But it did hurt to hear that, and it was quite offensive because I wasn't interested in those things. It's clear that this masculinity thing has always had an impact on me from the moment that I heard that boys don't do hair. I just don't like feeling like or thinking that I'm being put into a box with how I should be. You can always tell, this is a side note, you can always tell when somebody has been through therapy because they always differentiate feelings and thoughts. That was one of the first things that I learned going into a therapy session in my early 20s, that there's a difference between your thoughts and your feelings. Your feelings are pretty concrete. You can feel good, you can feel bad, you can feel happy, you can feel sad. But your thoughts, or I thought that was offensive for you to say, or I felt offended, you know, that's an actual feeling, but I think that you tried to offend me when you said this or when you said that. There's a difference. So I know that that may seem off the subject, but I wanted to clarify that whenever I hear people speak those terms, that I can tell that they went through somebody's therapy session, and that's always a good thing to me. I actually trust those situations. But, you know, as far as like me feeling like my masculinity was always put into a box, especially because, you know, the concept and idea of what boys do and what boys don't do has always had its attempt to plague me. And it did for a while make me feel very insecure. Back on feelings, I felt insecure. I had another situation to happen. I used to volunteer with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. This is before my wife and I started having kids. Maybe 2 years into our marriage, I decided that I wanted to do that, closer to three. And I was volunteering with Big Brothers and Big Sisters, my little, we called the people who we were mentoring our littles. And so my little made a comment to me, expressing his disappointment and concerns about what I did for a living. I remember him saying, "Mr. Peace, I don't understand why you do hair. Why you do hair? Why you don't drive trucks or fix cars or something like that?" And I'm like, "Well, that's just not what I do. I do hair, and it works for me, and it's not unmanly to do hair." This little boy telling me that, though, did make me feel some kind of way, like it was, you know, because in his head and in his experience, he was 9 at the time, in his experience, you know, boys didn't do hair. Like he, you know, men drove trucks and fixed cars and did those type things. And so I didn't do that. That's just not what I chose as my career path. I'm a confident man. I feel very safe and very secure in my skin. And as the years go by, I feel even safer and even more secure in my skin. And I'm confident because I have to be. I'm a man who asserts himself in the earth with a lot of power and a lot of authority. And I do that because I think that I have to. I don't teach my family that masculinity or femininity falls into gender stereotypical behavioral patterns. What I do teach is that whatever your organic posture may be or whatever it is, let it be. And I think that way because I think that I have to. Whatever your natural organic self exudes, or, you know, I just want you to do so or let it exude with confidence and with authority. I don't want my kids to ever think that they have to be a certain way in order to feel more masculine or feel more feminine. Those are, that confidence and that authority piece are traits that I think can anchor and sustain any of us as we navigate through life, to be confident and to be authoritative in your skin, to own who you are and how you are, especially if that's naturally how you exist in the earth. I feel happy in my skin. My wife and my children always tell me how proud they am. I mean, they am. They always tell me how proud they are of me. And I know they feel safe with me because they know their daddy and my wife knows her husband ain't going to take no shit from outside of our household. They know that they don't have to worry about anything coming against them in any way, shape, or form because I'm here to protect. I believe that it's my duty and my role to provide and protect as a man. And as I've matured into an adult man, I've realized that boys don't do hair. I know it sounds crazy, but I hear my mama. My mama was just trying to make sure that, because she was a single mom at the time, and she was a single mom with her three boys, and she was trying to make sure that in her mind that we didn't grow up to suck dick. And I know that sounds like a lot, but there's a lot of homophobia that comes along with men who do hair. That's one of the stereotypes that, you know, that we suck dick. And I'm saying it like that because I know that that grabs your attention a little deeper. I know that kind of shakes your tail feathers a little differently, because at the end of the day, that's what it goes back to. It goes back to you having concerns, I ain't talking about you, but just me going back, speaking directly to the source of having a fear of me not being a man who co-creates and chooses to live life with a woman, because that's the holy thing to do according to what we've been taught. And that's a lot. That's a lot for people to carry, to always not feel or think that you're enough of whatever you are, whether you're man enough or whether you're boy enough or whether you're girl enough or whether you're woman enough. I read this book years ago by Frances Cress Welsing called The Isis Papers. It's a very controversial book. It's very heavy. And it's one of those books that you really have to read with an open mind, because it really does tackle a lot of the beliefs and philosophies centered around masculinity and manhood. And in the book, it really goes into white supremacy and white malehood in the earth, but it still kind of goes back into masculinity and just how it showcases itself in the earth overall. It's very heavy, but she talks about in the book how, you know, there are certain signs that always demonstrate the need to feel more masculine and more in power. She uses the phallic symbol as her reference point. So she talked about how the Washington Monument being one, but which one is that? I'm trying to think. Is that the Washington Monument, the tall one that has the point at the end, that, you know, when you think about it, it is very phallic in nature. It does look like a hard dick when you think about it. But she was saying that because it's a big white phallus, that it's a demonstration, or it could be symbolism of the need for the white male to showcase, you know, his big dick in the earth, or the power that he's able to showcase or command in the earth. That was just one example that she used. And she also talked about like cigarettes and cigars, and how, you know, smoking brown cigars and having it in your mouth was like a subconscious attempt to fill yourself with more masculinity. You know, I'm gonna put this big black, you know, stick in my mouth so that I can feel more man or more powerful. It was just a very interesting thing, but just reading that did create a challenge in my mind for, you know, just the whole need to feel more masculine and not feeling masculine enough, and carrying that as somebody's son, and carrying that as somebody's friend, and carrying that as somebody's brother, and somebody's husband, and somebody's boyfriend, and somebody's father, and somebody's coworker, just carrying that, not feeling enough. And I feel very fortunate that I do know that I'm more than enough. I know that I'm more than masculine enough, because I choose to fulfill my duty to provide and protect. And I'm not talking about just financial provision. I'm talking about providing love and providing emotional support and stability and providing financially and providing all that I need to provide regarding my role in my family and in my businesses and with my friends and in the earth. I feel very masculine. I feel tough. Ain't nobody coming raising up at me. I always tell people, you know, I'm always trying to make sure that my body looks good, but I'm not trying to get too little because I don't want nobody to ever look at me and think, ah, whoop his ass. You going to look at me. I got some girth to myself. So, you know, if you think you're going to whoop my ass, it's going to be a good fight. But, you know, and not saying that a skinny dude ain't going to whoop nobody's ass. But, you know, I know for me, I like having some girth on me, because it'll let you know, like, you're gonna have to come a little harder with me. My hair ain't nappy. I know you're wondering, like, how does this go back to my hair ain't nappy? Whenever I say my hair ain't nappy, it ain't just about the hair. It goes back to everything that I just said. My hair ain't nappy is a declaration that reminds all of us that we're not any of the negative or derogatory or defaming or non-affirming, non-celebratory things that the world around us may tell us, but that we're extraordinary and we're perfect because we live, because we breathe, we see, we hear, we have flowing blood, we have active brain power inside of whatever inherited shell of beauty we have. So when I say my hair ain't nappy, that's what I'm saying. And I know I realize that boys don't do hair. I said that earlier. Boys don't do hair. That's because men do hair. Men who want to provide a living for themselves or a living for their families. Men who want to impact the community. Men who aspire to motivate and transform. Men who want to leave legacy. So yeah, my mama was right. Boys don't do hair. That's because men do hair. So as a friendly reminder, as I close out this podcast and look forward to seeing, hearing from you at the next and hearing your comments in our social media platforms, my hair ain't nappy. And your hair ain't nappy either.
Speakers, coaches, experts, and entrepreneurs, whether you're keynoting events, growing your business, or commanding the boardroom, you are highly skilled and accomplished at what you do. But something's missing. You don't have a cohesive brand to match your level of success. But not to worry, that's where we come in. We're Honeysuckle Lane Creative Co., and we create stunning visuals that capture the essence of your business and give you the online presence of your dreams. With a full suite of creative services, including photography, web design, graphic design, and marketing strategy, we make sure you're as extraordinary online as you are in your area of expertise. Ditch the DIY and work with an experienced team that gets results. Find us online at honeysucklelanecreative.com and on Instagram at honeysucklelane_creative. Let's bring your brilliance to life with an unforgettable brand.
Thank you for listening to the My Hair Ain't Nappy podcast. Reach out to us on social media. We're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, and we're on Facebook. All the platforms at the My Hair Ain't Nappy podcast. We want to hear your own stories. Until next time, love you and love your hair.